Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 13th China Fahui on Minghui.org entitled Unmoved Amid a Tremendous Tribulation by Jing Yu, a Falun Dafa practitioner in Hubei Province, China.
China Fahui, Unmoved Amid a Tremendous Tribulation by Jing Yu, a Falun Dafa practitioner in Hubei Province, China. Greetings, compassionate master. Greetings, fellow practitioners. I'd like to share how, under the protection of Master Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Dafa, I survived and recovered from a potentially fatal accident. As a result of this experience, I've gained new understandings on my cultivation path of practicing Falun Dafa. Surviving the accident. Another practitioner and I went to a remote village on the evening of October 9, 2012, to distribute informational flyers about Falun Dafa and the persecution. By the time we finished, it was already past midnight. We got a ride on a motorcycle to go home. We traveled along the village road for about 10 miles and then entered the main highway. As soon as we entered the highway, a fuel tanker truck hit us and our driver was thrown several feet. The other practitioner was conscious, but I lay unconscious on top of the motorcycle. The truck driver was horrified and called the police. The ambulance took us to the country hospital, and I was admitted to the ICU. My family later told me that I had a fractured femur, four sections of my leg were broken from the pelvis to the thigh, and I had 11 broken ribs, visceral displacement, damaged soft tissue around the right femur, and internal bleeding in my chest. The next day, I thought I was out distributing flyers, but I wondered why I couldn't move. I didn't know where I was. I could not open my eyes, but I sensed that there were several people around me. I tried to open my eyes. I heard people talking about my swollen body. I also heard them crying. I could not talk, but I knew something bad must have happened. When I finally opened my eyes, I heard my family say, "She's waking up." I was breathing out, but I could not breathe in. I felt as though I were about to die, and barely clinging to life. But I knew that I was a Dafa practitioner, and that Master would protect me. I asked Master to save me. I remembered that a Dafa practitioner's body is like diamond. No one can persecute us. Truly cultivating. By the third day, several practitioners heard what had happened and came to visit me. Some sent forth righteous thoughts in the hospital, while others did so at home. A practitioner brought an MP3 player so that I could listen to Master's lectures. In the evening, practitioners came and studied Dafa books and sent forth righteous thoughts at my bedside. Fellow practitioners took turns with my family in taking care of me. Their selflessness strengthened me and helped me overcome the tribulation. 10 days later, the doctor decided that I was ready for surgery, and they told my family to remind me not to eat or drink the night before. An orthopedic surgeon from a top-ranking hospital was coming to operate on me the next morning. I realized that I was helplessly following the doctor's orders. I seemed to lack righteous thoughts, and my main consciousness was not very strong. Just before I was to undergo surgery, several practitioners gathered around my bed. I heard a small voice telling me, "Surgery is also a form of persecution." Suddenly, my main consciousness strengthened and my mind became clear. "I won't go through the operation," I said firmly. My fellow practitioners must have waited a long time for me to say those words, and they encouraged me. I asked Master for help. I didn't want to undergo the surgery as I felt it would be going along with the persecution. I believed that Master would make my body return to normal. The anesthesiologist came to prepare me for the operation. He noticed that my preoperative assessment showed that I had liver problems. My transferase, an enzyme that catalyzes the transfer of a particular group from one molecule to another, level was at 400. The operation could not be done until it dropped to 40, so the anesthesiologist refused to sign the documents to go forward with the anesthetization. The doctor asked the anesthesiologist to sign anyway, but he said he did not want to be responsible. The doctor then asked my family to sign. When my family learned there was a problem, they requested that I be transferred to another hospital. With Master's compassionate help and practitioner's righteous thoughts, the old forces arrangement was disintegrated, and I was spared further tribulation. I was transferred to a top-ranking hospital. Later, the doctor said that I might not have lived had I undergone the operation that day. Practitioners in that city sent forth righteous thoughts and took care of me at the hospital. 10 days later, my transferase level dropped, and the doctor said that I was ready to be operated on. My righteous thoughts were strong, so I refused the operation. The doctor said that I would not be able to stand up or walk without the operation. Even if I recovered, he said, I might be permanently disabled, and one leg would be shorter than the other. He said that I would be in constant pain. I might even be paralyzed. I asked the doctor if the operation would guarantee that I would not have long-term pain and that my legs would be even. The doctor said he could not guarantee it, so I said that I did not want the operation. The doctor told my husband to persuade me. You might as well do it now since the other party is willing to pay for your surgery. My husband told me, if you don't do it now, there might be complications in the future, and you'll need more treatments and medical care. We are not well off, and our daughter needs money for school. What are we going to do? While my husband talked, I kept negating the old forces arrangement. I knew that nothing bad would happen as long as I followed Master's plan. I will survive as long as I don't undergo surgery, I told him. If I die on the operating table, you will regret it. I don't want to undergo surgery. Rest assured, everything will be fine, because Master will protect me. Then why did you have such a bad accident if your Master was protecting you? My husband asked. I would have died if Master was not protecting me, I told him. I asked Master to help dissolve the tribulation and disintegrate the persecution. 2 days before the scheduled operation, I still did not want to go through with it. My husband thought of an alternative solution. I will bring your assessment to my former student, he said. He's the head of the No. 3 Provincial Hospital, and his classmate is an authority in the orthopedic field. I will ask him whether you need the operation or not. What do you think? I knew that Master was helping me, so I agreed to my husband's suggestion. I continued to ask Master for help. My husband called that evening and said, I have good news. The surgery is not necessary. I wept as I thanked Master. However, the story was not over, and there were more twists and turns. My doctor was not happy that I refused to undergo the operation. Many doctors in China nowadays just want to make money, and they do not put their patients' needs first. The doctor told me that I would be responsible for any future problems. I was not moved, and I reassured him that I would take full responsibility for my situation. Out of the hospital. I had not taken any medication since I started to practice Falun Dafa, yet the doctors prescribed many types of medication during my stay at the hospital. I heard my aunt telling my husband to watch me, telling him to make sure that I took the medication. To avoid their supervision, I took the first dose of medication and asked Master for help. Please let the medication turn into water. Please make it as if I'm just drinking water. My family was relieved that I took the medication, and they stopped watching me. I threw away all other medications. Practitioners came and studied John Falun with me. I felt that I shouldn't be in the hospital, and I wanted to go home and not waste fellow practitioners' time. I asked the medical staff many times to take me off traction, but the doctors were hesitant. I told a practitioner the next day that I wanted to go home. She said, you need to take off the skeletal traction so that you can go home. My husband was not in the room, so I told the nurse and doctor that I wanted to remove the traction. The doctor said that it was too soon and that I would be responsible should anything happen to me. I reassured them, and they took off the traction 2 weeks early. But it was not an easy task doing so. During my stay at the hospital, a metal pin settled inside the bone, so the pliers did not work. They used a hammer to hit the pin. The other patients in the room wept when they saw this, and the doctors said that I was in a lot of pain. Yet I did not feel any pain, and I knew that Master was forbearing it for me. When I asked Master to help take the pin out, the doctor pulled out the pin right away. It was amazing. Remarkable recovery. 2 days later, my legs were straight. However, since I could not bend my knees, I could not stand. Two practitioners helped me get up and use crutches to practice walking. They held my legs and moved them forward slowly. I asked Master for help so that I could walk on my own. I told practitioners to stand behind me, and I crept forward on my own. I was able to stand up the next day. The ambulance took me home on a stretcher a week later, and my husband hired a caretaker to help me. I went through the movements of the exercises lying in bed at home. I was able to lean against a chair to do the second exercise, the following standing stance, on the third day. Although I worked up a sweat, I finished the second exercise, which lasted 30 minutes, and I felt wonderful afterward. I did not see myself as a patient and was able to use the toilet on my own 3 days later. The caretaker said that I was different from her usual clients. Other people want me to do everything for them, but you don't want me to do anything for you. I told her about the wonders of practicing Falun Dafa. I also told her about the persecution of Falun Dafa by the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. She understood and agreed to withdraw from the CCP and its affiliated organizations. My husband is a teacher, and he leaves home to recruit students in the spring. Since I live on the third floor, the caretaker helped me buy groceries. I was able to take care of myself very soon, and the caretaker left 1 month later. At first, my husband was happy that I could bend my knees, but when he saw my remarkable recovery, he was even more happy and grateful for Master's protection and for my fellow practitioners' help. The sitting meditation requires us to cross our legs in the full lotus position. At first, I could only sit on the bed with my legs hanging over the edge. I was unable to bend my legs, let alone cross my legs in the full lotus position. Master said, quote, "I'll put it in a lighthearted way. Of those seated here, many people really have cultivated quite well. Those bodhisattvas in the heavens are covering their mouths and laughing at those of you who can't put your legs up, saying, 'Look at those cultivators who still can't put their legs up,'" end quote, teaching the Fa at the conference in Switzerland. I asked Master to help me. I used a bandage to pull my calf toward my thigh. Gradually, I was able to move my heel near the thigh. I then pulled my legs little by little, and I was able to sit cross-legged. When I tried to cross my legs into the full lotus position, the injured area hurt so much that I cried. I wanted to put my legs down. Then I remembered that Master saved my life and had already endured so much for me. Despite the pain, I was determined to sit in the full lotus position. I recovered from the injury in 3 months, and I was able to once again leave the house to talk to people about Falun Dafa. When my friends and relatives saw that I was back to normal, as though nothing had happened, they all said, "Falun Dafa is truly amazing." After recovery. After my daughter went to college in the fall, I spent a month at a relative's home in the provincial capital. My relative is also a Falun Dafa practitioner, and we studied Dafa books. We did exercises and distributed information about Falun Dafa with other practitioners. I noticed a propaganda display slandering Falun Dafa in a local neighborhood. My two nieces, also practitioners, and I went to the neighborhood to distribute and post informational flyers there that evening. We sent forth righteous thoughts after we finished our task. We then pried open the panels of the display box from behind and ripped out the propaganda display. we hopped on the bus and went home. Postscript. I am filled with emotion when I look back on my cultivation path. I feel fortunate to be a Falun Dafa practitioner and can hardly express my gratitude toward Master. In the final moment, I will cherish the life that Master gave me, do the three things well, and fulfill my vow with righteous thoughts and actions. Let us be diligent and return to our heavenly homes with Master. Thank you, Master, for your merciful salvation. Thank you, practitioners, for your selfless help.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.